secret mountain lair somewhere in Colorado. This is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast with your hosts, Jason Odell and Rick Walker. Hey everyone, I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
And this is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast. Thanks for joining us again today. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing fine.
Great. We're going to continue our series on exposure, right?
I think so.
So last time you were with us, or you out there in Radioland, we started with some philosophical discussion of exposure.
And then rambled around it, as I recall.
Yeah, we tripped on the histogram and stubbed our toe. So today, what are we going to talk about then?
Part two. I think we're going to talk about exposure modes today. Good. Things like program mode and aperture priority mode and those good things. A little bit of auto ISO too.
Right. And this is good because I think if there's one thing every photographer ought to know about their camera, it's the exposure modes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of things you should learn about your camera.
Like where's the shutter release?
And, right.
Yeah.
And how to change things. But this is really important because as you grow as a photographer, you want to start taking more creative control over the look and feel of your images. And exposure control is the best way to do that artistically, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So just a recap of one little thing, you know, what we're going to be talking about today with the modes, they're all different ways that the camera calculates an exposure. We're not going to talk about metering yet. That'll be another episode. We'll probably talk about that next time.
Yeah, metering patterns and stuff.
Yeah, but for right now, we're going to talk about the exposure modes. And what it means is really we're talking about the choice of a combination of settings, shutter speed, aperture, and in some cases, ISO, just depending, and how the camera will set those variables for you or not.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who are, you know, wanting to learn more exposure, go dig out your exposure triangle somewhere and see the relationship between shutter speed, aperture, and ISO. But let's start then with, we're going to work from like in order of increasing complexity or increasing user
control.
Control and user input. And with all these things, with most of these cameras, what you'll find is, you know, way back once upon a time, you had to do everything manually.
Mm-hmm.
And then manufacturers started adding all these automatic.
Those newfangled things.
Those things. So let's start with the most of the automatic, and let's talk about P.
P.
Program. Not, well, P is for professional.
Or really not.
Right. Program auto.
I'm bad.
Yeah, be nice.
It's useful. All of these settings are useful.
Exactly.
You just have to know under what circumstances and then put your own preferences in there too.
That's key. So tell us about program mode. Program auto.
Tell a story about program
mode. Yeah, you know, okay. Once upon a time, there was a photographer.
Yeah. Who didn't want to do a damn thing for himself.
Oh, now that's being mean.
No, it's what you're doing with program mode is turning over control of the shutter speed and the aperture to the camera.
Correct. So it has full control over all of those parameters. And generally, the only thing you'll set with program mode is the sensitivity or ISO of your camera.
Mm-hmm.
And as you'll see, you can actually change that too.
Yeah. And on I think every camera that has it, you know, the way it works is if the light's low enough, then it will lengthen the shutter speed, but, you know, have the aperture wide open. And then as the scene brightens up, eventually you'll see the shutter speed going up and the aperture starting to close down according to a program that it has. That's
right.
Where it gets the name.
And once upon a time, in the back of your manual, they actually had the table that would show the response.
The charts know, with the basically. Graphs.
Correct. Yeah. I don't think they publish those anymore.
No.
Why then would our listeners want to use this mode? Do you use this mode?
I really don't with my better cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not saying it's not useful. I think the circumstances where it has the most use, and I just don't run into these a lot, or I would use it more often. It's a situation like an event, let's say. It could be a birthday party.
I was just going to say a birthday party.
To, you know, for something that a lot of people would relate to. And you care more just about getting good shots that are exposed correctly than precise depth of field control or other things. And you've got enough light that you're not too worried about
or even
subject
flash.
Movement or flash. Yeah.
I mean, indoor yeah. stuff. I was chasing my son and his class around. I was a chaperone for a field trip last year at the Science Museum in Denver. And I think I shot that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite possible that I shot that way. So it is really, for me, not, again, not something I'll use often, but here's where it does come in handy. If you set your camera into program mode along with some other options, especially if you can program a memory bank for this setting, this is the mode to use when you have to give your camera to someone else to take some snapshots,
right.
Because then nothing gets messed up.
Yep.
You just know that you'll get the right exposure and it's going to be okay.
Yeah. The theoretical case for when I would use it that I decided many years ago was completely justified and I should do it at some point, but never have, is if you just really don't know what's coming up and you want your camera set to go and be able to respond to shots really, really quickly, you know, where you have no sense really of what the subject is going to be. You could put your camera on program mode and could do auto ISO, which we'll talk about later, and just know that you can get a shot. And then the idea would be, well, if I actually saw a shot and had time, then I would probably flip it over to aperture priority or manual or
right.
the ones I use more often.
Cool.
It's never happened though.
No, but I can understand that. It's like
it
almost
makes sense.
It's like that old adage of F8 and be there, right?
Right.
I mean, just if you have your camera sort of left in program mode, you know that when you pick it up, it's going to give you a picture.
Right. And if I was going to be completely honest, a lot of times when I'm out shooting aperture priority, I'll put the lens on F8 and I'm in pretty bright light. And so I end up with exposure and settings pretty much identical to what program would have suggested.
Right.
But I feel better about myself.
There you go. So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Because the next two modes, what we're doing now is the camera is requiring the photographer to put in a little thought and a little bit of input on some of the exposure parameters. Okay, so we'll start with aperture priority because I think you and I both use that the most.
Yeah.
Of these. And so in an aperture priority, you, the photographer, must set the f-stop, the aperture on your lens, and then the camera will figure out the appropriate shutter speed based on whatever ISO setting you have.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great starting point for landscape photographers, especially if you're using a tripod. The reason why you'd want to control aperture is a creative one, and that's for depth of field. So the aperture is restricting or, you know, it's controlling the amount of light that's able to get through the lens, but it's not about just making the scene, you know, darker or brighter. It's about the depth of field, and depth of field, of course, is, you know, what is perceived to be in focus in an image. So if you think back to your photography 101, the higher the F number, the smaller the aperture and the greater the depth of field. So if you shoot at F11 or F16, you get a lot of depth of field. If you shoot at F2.8, you get shallow depth of field. Of course, the corresponding consequence of this is shutter speed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as you stop the lens down, your shutter speed is going to get extended. Going to get longer and longer.
Right.
So the reason why aperture priority is great with landscapes and tripods is that all these modes, they come with a pros and cons. So the benefit of aperture priority, in addition to controlling the depth of field, is that in almost every circumstance except extremes, the camera is going to set the appropriate exposure. You're never going to over or under expose unless things get really dark or, you know, mm-hmm. really wide. But the consequence of that is that you may find yourself suddenly shooting at very slow shutter speeds, right. which can be problematic for handheld shooting, mm-hmm. even with stabilized lenses. So you have to really be aware of that. And that's why if you're on a tripod, this is great. It doesn't, right. it just doesn't matter. So you're not worried about the shutter speed if you're on a tripod nearly as much as you would be if you were handheld. Did I miss anything?
No. You know, the thing I was thinking about with it, which was probably more important in the past when you couldn't vary your ISO except by switching film out, is aperture priority, especially for things like sports photography, would help you in that it would give you the fastest shutter speed you could get.
Right.
For
whatever given other parameters.
Lens that you were using. You could open it wide open and shoot, and that would be the fastest shutter speed that you would right. end up with.
And anything else would be improperly exposed.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. if you went to shutter speed priority, which we'll talk about in a second, you may or may not be getting the fastest shutter speed that you could get.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, right. So then let's then go there. So shutter priority, or on Canon's time value, mm-hmm. TV, the photographer sets the shutter speed that they want. And then the camera will figure out the aperture to achieve that shutter speed. And most often this is given in the concept or in the context of action photography. You want to shoot at 1/1000th of a second or whatever. But as you pointed out, there's some challenges with that. And I'm going to let you handle those. Because there's a consequence of setting a shutter speed that's different than setting with aperture priority. Aperture priority, our consequence was that the shutter speed could get very slow. Mm-hmm. It was always the fastest available for the given conditions. Mm-hmm. But with shutter priority, that might not be the case.
Yeah, depending on the camera. The problem you can run into is one where you've got the shutter speed set at something like 1/500th of a second, and it can be easy to get into really bad underexposure if you're just letting the camera go and just monitoring it.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, the lens can only open up to its maximum
right,
aperture.
Right.
So there's one downfall of shutter priority is that once the lens is wide open, you can't get any more light into it.
No.
Unless you change your ISO settings.
Now, the reason I put a caveat on what I said is some cameras used to have a thing, and they're probably still out there, which was called safety shift or different names. And what it would do is, when it reached that situation where it could go no further and was going to underexpose the image, then it would actually start lowering the shutter speed.
Oh, it gave you
a
warning. And the other thing you can do is that you can only stop your lens down so much. Mm-hmm. So usually when you're in shutter priority, the lens tends to shoot very close to wide open, especially if you're trying to get fast shutter speeds, you know, 1/1000th of a second or mm-hmm. faster. And so the challenge there is that you'll start underexposing if your shutter speed is set too high. On the flip side, if your shutter speed is set too low, you could actually overexpose because at some point the camera can't stop the lens down any further. So with shutter priority, I don't use it a lot. Really, it's probably my least used setting.
Yeah.
But if you really want a specific shutter speed, and why would you control the shutter speed? It's because you want to control the appearance of moving objects in your scene.
Yeah, and it's not just necessarily ensuring that they're sharp. It could also be achieving a certain amount of blur.
Right. So
yeah.
Maybe you want to shoot it at 1/30th of a second and do a pan.
Mm-hmm.
So that would work.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you're going to have to be more aware when you're looking through your viewfinder. When you use shutter priority, you should be looking at your meter, because the little meter will start showing that it might be over or under exposing.
Yeah.
And that's when you know you might need to change something.
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's move on to what I know is your favorite, most of the time, go-to mode.
Eh, I don't know.
After aperture is probably...
After aperture. Yeah.
And that's full manual.
Yeah.
So...
Well, You set the shutter speed, you set the aperture, and we're not talking about auto ISO yet. So you've got the ISO set to some setting, and then you'll have to make some adjustments with those to get the exposure that you want.
And how do you do that? What's your first key? When you use manual, there's a third ingredient that you need to have.
Tell me.
Oh, well, I mean, I think you know this one, but this is the one where you have to pay attention to your light meter.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because there's that little bar indicator. It's either on the bottom of your viewfinder or sometimes it's along the up and down on the side.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my first camera was a film camera, had it on the side. And you had to look at the needle or you look at the little indicator and match it up to zero or not. And we'll talk more about, you know, creative control. But the idea is that you need to, you can't just put in settings.
Right.
You have to, in a vacuum, because the camera is just going to say, okay, if you want to shoot at 250th and f8, so be it.
Yeah.
And the exposure will be darker, brighter, right on. It depends.
And you know what I find myself doing these days, you know, using the mirrorless cameras that both of us are using for the most part, is I don't really look at that. I look at the overall brightness of the image in the viewfinder, but more importantly, the histogram that we were talking about last time.
But that's a new tool.
It's a new tool.
That's a newer tool.
But I just find myself using that a bit more and not worrying about where the little bar is,
exactly,
the zero setting, and all that kind of stuff.
Because as we'll talk about in another episode, meters can be fooled.
Mm-hmm.
So the meter is not always the best judge of the scene from a creative standpoint.
Right.
They're good.
Right.
They will. If all you did was zero the meter every time, you would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that there are certain situations where you might be better. But really, with manual exposure, you can set all the parameters to your liking. I want to shoot at, you can use it almost if it was aperture. I want to shoot at f8. But if you want to under or overexpose, you don't need to use tricks like exposure compensation. You can just simply change the shutter speed,
right,
or change the aperture, and you can look at the meter. Okay, I'm underexposing. It's going to be a little darker, a little brighter. We should probably mention exposure compensation before we jump into auto ISO.
Sure, and then I have one other thing about manual.
Okay, well, why don't you tell us one other thing about manual,
okay,
and we'll talk about this. Because the idea, once you start talking about manual, we're talking about overriding the camera's exposure
suggestions.
Yes, yeah. It's concept.
Yeah. One of the things that I think is good about it is you can be in a situation where the light isn't changing.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, let's say, the sun off in one direction and everything you're shooting is in the same direction relative
front
to
lit,
the sun.
For example.
Yeah, front lit. But maybe the combination of subjects ranges from very bright, you know, very light, to quite dark, to things in between, but the light itself isn't changing. So you don't really want the exposure changing necessarily. And unfortunately, exposure meters will look at your subject, and if it's very bright, they'll stop things down a little bit. If it's dark, open it up. And that can actually cause problems under some circumstances.
Yeah, I'll give you a great example.
And manual solves that.
If you're shooting, and we'll talk about it more in a different context, but like imagine a situation where you've got a, you know, like theater,
yeah,
or something where the lighting is the lighting,
mm-hmm,
and your meter might see a lot of, and the lighting is changing, but it's never exceeding a certain brightness. So your exposure might be all over the place if you're allowing your camera to have some control over it, because it might get bright. As long as you've set your exposure manually to not blow out highlights, let's say, then you're good. You can just shoot at that setting.
Right, and you don't have to worry about exactly where in the frame your subject is and what the matrix meter thinks about a bright subject at that place in the frame as opposed to in the center. And
right, it just basically says, camera, I want to shoot at this setting.
Yeah.
And don't change anything.
Yeah.
And let the scene brightness fall where it may.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. Now, you're talking about overriding the meter, because maybe you decide that, oh, my, you look at your histogram and you say, well, it's a little dark, or it's a little little bright. I need to, you know, maybe I'm blowing highlights out or something like that. In manual, we just mentioned the easiest way to change your exposure is just to change the exposure setting. I mean, you have the choice. You can use shutter speed, which is probably what you and I do the most, or you can change the aperture, or both. But if you're in one of the program modes, whether it's program auto, aperture priority, or shutter priority, you need to tell the camera to do something other than read the zero reading off of the meter. And that's where exposure compensation typically comes in.
Which is just all about saying, make it brighter or make it darker.
Right. So there's usually a little button on the top of your camera with a plus minus. You'll have to look for it. And it'll say, you know, EV compensation or exposure compensation. If you dial it in the plus direction, it makes it brighter. And it does it by altering whichever parameter the camera has control over. So if you're in aperture, for example, it will change the shutter speed. If you're in shutter priority, it will change the aperture typically. Mm-hmm. If you're in program mode, it may change one or the other. I don't know what it does. But the idea is that you could go back after reviewing your exposure and you can modify it to be brighter or darker than what the meter thought. So that's a good one. Now let's finish off with this cool feature that, you know, we talked about when it first came out, probably almost 10 years ago, auto ISO.
Before we do that,
okay,
I'm going to mention one little
mode
that I think is so cool that I can't believe it doesn't show up in more cameras. And it's a thing that Pentax has.
Okay.
And it's used in manual exposure mode. And let's just say you've got the aperture set to f8, but you've been shooting indoors and your shutter speed is really low. And all of a sudden you go outdoors and, of course, you want to have a much higher shutter speed. You didn't have the feature I'm going to talk about. What you'd have to do was go click, 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 click.
You're talking about manual
exposure? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Whole bunch of times to get it into the shutter speed that you want. Pentax has a thing where you can just press what's usually a green button on the camera when you're in manual exposure mode, and it automatically sets the shutter speed to what you would get in aperture priority.
Oh, so you've got a nice starting
point. So it'll just, you know, go directly to 500th of a second, but then you're in manual exposure mode and you can go up or down, like we're going to talk about with exposure compensation. It is so smart and so convenient, and I think they're the only ones that have it.
That's really cool.
Yeah, must have a patent.
Must be. That's a great feature, because especially on these digital cameras where a lot of times you're clicking through a third of a stop increments, it could be a lot of turns of the dial to get you back to where you need to be for a different condition. That's really great. Well thought. But auto ISO, we talked about it a long, long time ago when it first came out, and it was challenging to use back then. But the idea here is that the camera will then be, you hand over control of the sensitivity setting, the ISO, to the camera. And it worked best in the past. It tended to work best with things like shutter or aperture priority, but there were some caveats because the camera needs to know, when do I change the ISO and a whole bunch of things. So it's a great setting though, and it's really evolved. It's come a long way since it first came out, and I use it all the time.
I use it just pretty often.
Where I don't use it is tripod shooting, you know, landscapes where I'm going to control everything. And I want to shoot at a... So with the ISO, what you're dealing with, on the plus side, you're getting, you know, more sensitivity so you can shoot faster shutter speeds in lower light or stop down or whatever. The downside to higher ISOs has always been you might get more noise.
Mm-hmm.
So between the fact that between the auto ISO algorithms getting better and the camera noise becoming much less of an issue, it's a great way to shoot.
Yeah, it's a lot more useful than when it first came out.
And I still run into clients who will say, well, I was told never to use auto ISO because you'll get noise. No, that was 10 years ago. So
yeah,
if you're using a camera made in the last 5 years, you're probably not going to get too much noise at all.
I think one important thing to realize with using auto ISO is no matter how you have your camera set, including manual exposure, and I think this one deserves a little bit more discussion with auto ISO, your in effect, using auto exposure.
Correct.
If auto ISO is on, it's auto exposure no matter how your camera is set.
Right. But where I really love shooting with auto ISO is in full manual mode.
I know. That's why I was teeing you up there.
But here's the but then what happens, and this is the difference when you use auto ISO, and this is the gotcha, right? In regular manual exposure with a fixed ISO, say 100 or whatever, if I change the shutter speed or the aperture, the exposure will change. With auto ISO, it won't. The ISO will change,
mm-hmm.
but the shutter speed and aperture will remain whatever I set them to.
Mm-hmm.
So if I dial the shutter speed, let's say I dial the shutter speed, make it faster to it's not going to underexpose.
Right.
The camera's going to just boost the ISO to compensate mm-hmm. for that. Now you can, on many cameras, and this is where things get manufacturer specific. For example, with Nikons, you can use exposure compensation in conjunction with manual exposure and auto ISO. And then what it does is that it will make the image darker by dropping the ISO down
mm-hmm.
or brighter by boosting the ISO up.
And not every camera has that.
No. And so you have to check in your manual to see if that's possible. I love that feature.
Yep.
And for me, where I love that shooting this way is like wildlife, especially birds.
Yep.
I want a particular shutter speed. I want a particular aperture, but I want to maintain that shutter speed. So if the light is changing or it's getting dark, my ISO will always kick up high enough to get me that shutter speed that I really want.
Mm-hmm.
And my advice to the people who say, but what about noise, is real simple. I'd rather have a sharp, in focus and motion freeze shot that has a little bit of noise in it than a blurry shot that I throw away.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and it's especially true these days where like you were saying earlier, the noise characteristics of cameras are so good.
Right. So anytime I'm traveling,
yeah,
I'll shoot in aperture priority most of the time or whatever, but auto ISO is on.
Yeah, I mean, just
and
for a reminder of how things have changed, when we were first doing this podcast, we were using cameras that got fairly ratty when you got above ISO 800.
Or even 400.
Yeah, even 400 in some cases.
So, yes, yeah. You're right. What
very different now.
With aperture priority, many cameras will have a setting where you need to tell it the minimum shutter speed. Because if you think about it, as the light is dropping, with aperture priority, when things get dark, the camera's response is to lower the shutter speed. So you need to assign a minimum shutter speed to say, okay, I don't let the, and once that light gets too dark, that you, let's say your minimum shutter speed was 1/125th of a second. If the light got too dark, then the camera at that point starts bumping up the ISO.
Mm-hmm.
In Nikons, there's an auto setting. And what's really great about that setting is it effectively uses the old adage of 1/1 focal length of your lens. So if you're using a zoom lens, the minimum shutter speed will change based on if you're shooting a telephoto or wide.
And what's really great is, again, with Nikons, and I think there are a few others that are starting to have it now too, you can actually override that auto setting and say, I'd like it a little bit faster or a little bit slower than that. And that can be really useful. The faster one, where you can go 1 or 2 stops faster, is especially useful if you don't have something like VR in a lens.
Right, right.
Because then I find the 1 stop faster is about right.
Right. This would be really true with things like DX, cameras that are, crop sensor, if you will, and telephoto focal mm-hmm. lengths. But you're right. No, it's really come a long way since it first got implemented way back when. And I use it just all the time.
Yeah. If you're not using auto ISO, spend some time experimenting with it. Do some shots that, you're not going to kill yourself if they don't turn out perfectly, but experiment. I think you'll end up deciding it's worth using at times.
Agreed.
It's good.
Okay. Well, if you have questions for us on this episode or want to suggest future episodes, please leave us some feedback over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/imagedoctors. And we really appreciate all of our listeners, and just we'll say we're going to come back with more on exposure in our next episode.
Yeah, it'll be exciting.
All right, we'll see you next time.
All right, bye-bye.